Now, let me begin reading here in this section we've labeled positional sanctification. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul now is being argumentative. He wasn't, you remember, when he was discussing sin. He was just stating facts. He wasn't trying to prove anything. He just looked at life in the raw, right down where the rubber meets the road, and he says we're all sinners. Now he uses this idiomatic question, which opens up this chapter, and it is argumentative, and we're going to find that he uses it several times. He asks it in such a way in the Greek that, very frankly, there's only one answer to it. He says, what shall we say then? And after you see God's wonderful question, my question is, what can you say to it? All you can do is just say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And that seems very trite to just say that, because so many repeat it today till it has become meaningless. It's just a Christian cliche. But my friend, what else can you say to God's wonderful salvation? Now the question is, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And this, my friend, is a very interesting statement. It's God's answer to the question of whether, when you're saved by grace, you can continue to live in sin, and the answer is, God forbid. Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, the very fact that Paul is asking this question means very evidently that Paul understood justification to mean a declaration of righteousness, and that it did not mean to make good, but to declare a person good. And it means that the guilt or the penalty of sin is removed, not the power of sin in this life. And now he's going to talk about removing the power of sin. If God has declared you to be righteous and removed the guilt of sin, then, my friend, you cannot continue in sin. The answer is, God forbid. Now, this is something that's misunderstood. How shall we that are dead to sin? You're never dead to sin as long as you're in this life. And the better translation, in fact, the literal translation is, how shall we who died to sin? And note that distinction. And that means we died in the person of our substitute, Jesus Christ. We died to sin in Christ, but we're never dead to sin. Any honest person knows he never reaches the place where he's dead to sin. He reaches a place where he wants to live for God, but he recognizes he still has that old sin nature. It's verses like this that have led a group of sincere folk that I call super-duper saints. And I hope I'm not being unfair, unkind to them, but they feel like they've reached some sort of an exalted plane where they do not commit sin. They've reached the pinnacle of perfection. There's a group that's known as the Victorious Life group. Now, I know there are different brands of these, but one group was especially obnoxious several years ago here in Southern California. One young man came up to me one morning after the service. He said, are you living the Victorious Life? I think I shocked him. I said, no, I'm not. But I added, are you? Well, he beat around the bush, didn't want to give a direct answer, and I said, wait a minute. And he finally said, I tried to, and I said, that's not the question. You asked me, was I living it? And I said, no. Now, you answer me yes or no. And friends, to this good day, he hasn't answered me. And he was a very anemic-looking fella. Now, I do not know why, but all those in that group that I've come in contact with are anemic-looking. This fellow looked like he was a fugitive from a blood bank. He was a little, bitty, dried-up fellow, and he wanted to know whether I was living a victorious life. And he says, well, doesn't the Scripture say I'm crucified with Christ? And then doesn't it say that we're dead to sin? And I said, well, no, that's not what the Scripture said. We died to sin in Christ. That's our position. But I said, we're never dead to sin in this life. You have a sinful nature, I have a sinful nature, and we'll have it as long as we're in this life. He said, well, what does it mean when we're crucified with Christ? I said, well, when Christ died 1900 years ago, that's when we died. We died in Him. We died in Him, and we were raised in Him, and we're joined now to a living Christ. I said, young man, that's the great truth that's there. The great truth is not that you and I have crucified this old nature. I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at crucifying myself. I said the very interesting thing is you can kill yourself off many different ways. You can take poison, you can get a gun, you can jump off a building, and you can hang yourself. Well, there are many different ways you can do it, but you can't crucify yourself. When you drive the nail with one hand into the cross, who's going to drive the other hand into the cross? You can't do it. How are you going to crucify yourself? You cannot do that, my young friend. You were crucified 1,900 years ago when he died.